The first question is, are drug-induced altered states as valid as altered states that are not drug-induced? And what value do drug states have?
Well, I obviously must start out before this discussion with a disclaimer that I do not advocate the violent overthrow of the government. Nonviolence is a whole other matter. I do think laws aren't very conscious, but I want to say that I can't advocate the breaking of a law. You must do what you do. I have found psychedelics a very significant and important and useful part of my spiritual practice, more so many years ago than now, although even in recent years it has been slightly useful. Initially for me, psychedelics was a really radical way of breaking through some very powerful mindsets or habits of thought. And it opened me to a deeper truth of my being. And I can't speculate, because it's a hypothetical question that I can't deal with, because I don't know. But I can see my colleagues at Harvard, and who I was, we were very simpatico in my old form, and I meet them now, and we have very little business together. They are living in a different world than I am. And I really feel that the root of that shift for me was due to psychedelics. So I honor them, and I would never be a hypocrite to deny that, even though there's a lot of social pressure on me often to do that. However, what was necessary in 1961 is not necessarily necessary now, because what I have noticed is that some of the breakthroughs from the kind of reality that was so absolute in when I was growing up, those breakthroughs through the rock music and through a whole variety of vehicles, is probably stimulated in large part by psychedelics in the United States anyway, that has mainstreamed. Those shifts in perspective are much more available to somebody without chemicals now than they were in the time that I first ingested psilocybin. That I talk in the Midwest, for example, and may give a lecture, and the audience, I would say that at least 70 or more percent of them have never smoked pot or taken any psychedelic, and most of them have never read any Eastern books or been to the East. And I say the same things I was saying in 1960, which a small group of people could hear, and I find that mainstream America almost, not quite, I mean, still it's a selective group that comes to hear Ram Dass, but it's in Iowa, and they are all going like this. And they're hearing it. And they're hearing it because the zeitgeist has changed. The cultural milieu about realities has shifted, just like why channels and all of those things are much more accessible into the society. The possibility that there are other realms of reality is more available. I mean, it used to be that when I was in the United States, because of the overriding power of the main church of America, which was science, which was based on a physics model, a natural science model, that anything about altered states of consciousness was treated as very aberrant. And I would go to England, and I would find an entirely different milieu. There they had had years and years of being able to absorb the idea of other planes of reality. And they had occultists and all that were part of the society. They were no longer. And when you look at why there are gurus in India, part of it is that the society supports that quality of cultivation of spirit in people. And it acknowledges it while we put those people in mental hospitals for the most part, because they are aberrant from a mainstream consciousness. So we have had some basic shifts which make psychedelics somewhat less of a necessity for breaking through than they used to be. I work with kids now, and many of them have never had any psychedelics, and I don't find that there is a great bridge in our consciousness. They can hear what I have learned through all these experiences, and they can hear it, and they can hear it in a way that is useful for them to hear it. So I want to say that at the outset. I next want to say that the governmental legislative structures regarding chemicals is so insensitive to the differences between what they mass as drugs, the differences between the tryptamines or psychedelics on one hand and the opiates on the other, and those are all classed as drugs, so that morphine and LSD are considered drugs, and they're considered bad because they are socially injurious to the ongoing structure of society. Now, that's a very interesting social political question of how, in a healthy society, how much it can allow for that which would change itself, and how much it punishes anything that would change it, because, and if the fear count is very high in a society, it becomes very rigid in its boundaries of rejecting anything through which it would grow itself, and it keeps stifling itself because it can't allow those pseudopods of growth to happen, especially when they're powerful, because from a society's point of view, they are chaotic. Now, what's happening in our society, I mean, let me just jump politically for a moment, is that you have an increasing economic polarization in the society, and you have lower windows of opportunity for a larger segment of the population. And there's not as much equality of poverty as Dr. V was talking about. Everybody in the village, Dr. V said, was poor. And so everybody understood and they shared what they had. As you get these incredible differentials of King of the Mountain, what you have is the opportunity for a way of drug use as first an economic other power system to come in to counteract a structure that is not giving people opportunity, so that the black market drug culture has become another economic structure other than nationalism, for example. It's like multinationals now. The other thing is it's also provides, the drug experience is used very heavily for escapism, meaning it's used to push away what is an unpleasant set of circumstances. So when you look at what the drug problems are in the culture, you see that you're dealing with basic dissatisfactions, part of which are economically motivated in inner city people who don't have a window of opportunity. I mean, if you can make $500 a day selling crack, you're going to do it much more readily than you're going to go to school and work at McDonald's for $3 an hour, or $3.50 an hour, for a future that is really kind of iffy anyway because you're black or whatever, or some minority group. So, but the interesting thing is the movement of cocaine primarily, and now some crack, but mostly cocaine, into the middle class Caucasian population. And that represents a deeper dissatisfaction with the myths of the culture. That the break of the family that Dr. V has been talking about, and a whole lot of factors of where the myth that when people make it, when they do everything the society said, if you do this, you'll be happy, and they do it and then they're not happy, then they are open to the use of the drugs as a vehicle to escape from the fact that they played the game as well as they could, because the society is basically an externalized society. It's basically saying you will be happy if you have a speedboat, or you'll be happy if you have a second home, or you'll be happy if you have some material thing. And basically that's a quick rush, but it's not happiness. It's pleasure, but not happiness. And what the society's been selling is pleasure, not happiness. And that discrepancy is part of the root cause of the use of drugs as escapism. Now, what the society is afraid of are two things. One is that if too many people use escapist things, first it builds another economic structure, which undercuts the whole economic structure of the society. I mean, this is all, none of it's taxable. Because of the society's naivete, again, instead of making it taxable, which they could. The other part of it is that the society is afraid that what drugs do is undermine the verticality of power structures. That when you take psychedelics, for example, or most drugs, you look at social institutions and you see that they are rather flimsy constructions of the human intellect. And, I mean, I've gone on LSD through Washington and looked at the Pentagon, and it just looked like this huge little creation of fear of a group of teenagers. I mean, that's roughly what it looked like. I mean, the whole, all these institutions that have made the Mint and all, they're made to the Treasury Department, made to look like, you're supposed to look like this, and, you know, like, they're not pilgrimage sites in the sense of worship, although people do tours to see the power of the government. But you can feel that that power is rooted in fear. And when you see that, it undercuts that power. And why the drugs in the early 60s undercut the power of the monolithic structures and the verticality of it such that the anti-Vietnam movement could get hold, for example. That was rooted in drugs. That was rooted in psychedelic openings. That wasn't just social consciousness that was like the social consciousness of the 40s and 50s. It was a different kind of thing. It was where the power holders were in jeopardy. And Nixon sat in his White House and watched that scene out there, and there was a handwriting on the wall that the power had been gone. And all the sexual freedom and women's rights and gay rights and all of the whole range of those things came out of that breakdown of the myths of the verticality of the system. So there is a fear in a society of those kinds of things, chemicals, that would alter the citizens' sense of their own power, really. And so there's that one, and there's the shift of the economic base. These are all basic political, social issues that are around the drug issue. It can't just be treated as good guys and bad guys and drugs are evil. Because drugs are not evil. They are just another set of experiences. And somebody who is addicted, like Lee Iacocca, to more power and money, is as addicted and he has as big a drug habit. And the person who has the need for continuous sex all the time and more conquests all the time, and which is keeping a whole set of industries operating all the time in terms of pornography and all of that stuff, that is just as sick an addiction as cocaine. And we're going to deal with that in the addiction group. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be cheating. Strike all that. I didn't say any of that. So, we had a little problem with the structure, you see, because everything overlapped. So when we come to the distinction, besides all of that has been the problem of the society that leads to drugs used as withdrawal or as avoidance, the other end of it is the sacramental use of chemicals, in which chemicals can be used as instruments for regaining our own divinity.